from the PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno.
Hello.
I'm joined today by Mrs. Janine Gagliardi.
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm okay.
I'm great.
I'm a little gruff, even the voice, as you can hear.
You're a little gruff?
I'm a little gruff.
You're a little rougher on the edges?
I'm a little gruff and grumpy. No, I'm not grumpy. I'm okay. But, you know, just... I get the lingering dry cough, you know?
Yeah.
It's among us. It's upon us.
Could be from the heat.
Could be.
Like the heat in the house.
Heat system.
Not could heat be. Outside.
No. Yeah, could be. I mean, I've had it for a couple weeks now, and last week it was like 80 degrees.
Yeah.
So I don't know I don't know what the hell. But, you know, nothing life-threatening, just annoying.
Any aches and pains?
Well, now I do. I have like a muscle ache in my ribs. This is daily aches and pains.
We should start every episode by what are your aches and pains?
There was one time we were
watching. We should just be wearing towels in a sauna.
There was one time we were watching a program, you and I.
A program.
And there was an infomercial on, and there was a woman, and it said beneath her, which I guess it was they were hawking some kind of supplement, and it said her name, and then it said daily aches and pains, and I was like, "What does she report for them?" And you were like, "Did you think that there was a publication that came out daily about aches and pains?"
Daily aches and pains.
I was like, "Certainly not now."
edited by my grandpa. Daily aches and. Hi, this is
like full print ads for Bengay.
Or like competing, like one page is full print Bengay, the other one's icy hot, and they're like going, they're like fighting each other hard. Oh boy. I'm great. I'm doing great.
You're doing great. Oh yeah, I'm so sorry.
I spry is a newborn chick.
good for you.
Yeah. So this is a full episode of Pop Culture Man Children. This is an episode where we will talk about news. We will talk about some new movie trailers. We're going to do the chill sesh, the sheshery chill. And then we're going to talk about obsessions.
Okay.
Let's start with some news.
Let's do it.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Bill made a bunch of new sounds.
Yeah, he did.
Hold on. Let's get some going. News. Hold on. Hold the phone. Everyone relax. All right, this come right in for the ticker tape.
Breaking news.
Did you hear Matthew Perry died?
Oh my god. You heard it here first, folks. You probably heard it here last, but
yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad.
It's just sad.
As somebody who has the addiction gene in him, it's sad when somebody loses the battle. Not to say that his life is completely void now, but he was pretty darn young.
I mean, we're at the age when we consider 54 young. I remember hearing about people dying at 54 when I was like 19,
exactly.
And I'd be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What, natural causes?
Yeah.
In his sleep? Yeah, so it's just sad. And then they're like, of a parent drowning. But you're like, okay, but, you know, what was he doing, a dive? Like, no, he's just...
How do you...
Unless it's a cardiac thing. But, of course, we won't know until
those
reports come back. And by then, I'll have forgotten.
Right.
So...
No, it doesn't. Yeah. It sounds...
It can happen. I mean, Val Kilmer's teenage brother died in a hot tub. He had a seizure. And he was alone. And he just drowned.
Right. It's
It happens. But knowing his history, people, I think, are assuming...
That it's something drug-related.
Yeah. Which is just sad.
Yeah.
And it's like a year after his memoir came out.
Yes, which was pretty like... he opened up pretty wide in that. And like talked about all the addiction and, you know, like...
I'm not a friend's head. So this didn't hit me as hard a lot of people I know were really heartbroken by it. But I do really like 17 Again, which is a movie he stars in. And he's really good in it. And I thought...
Was Zac Efron.
Yeah. I love that movie. I think it's great. I think it's very underrated.
For your switcheroo movies? It's one of your top switcheroo
movies?
Yeah,
it's one of my top switcheroos.
Yeah.
Maybe my top switcheroo. Because I'm not a huge fan of Freaky Friday.
Mm.
I'm a huge fan of the concept of Freaky Friday.
Sure. I mean, who wouldn't want a switcheroo?
I think it's a good one. It's one of those where, like, the younger version of himself shows up. right?
And yeah, yeah.
It's not like people act like they've never seen him before. Like his wife's like, oh my God, you look exactly like my husband when he was young. That's crazy. And she's like really looking at his face like, wow, oh, that's nuts. Like it, they acknowledge the conceit of like, this is, you recognize this person. Like you've seen this person before.
Yeah. I've watched like the first, I guess half of Friends.
Okay.
And he was the best one, I think.
He was the best one, yeah.
He was the funniest one. I also think, you know, like, he is responsible, both in his performance and I suppose the writing as well, of a certain, like, Gen X snarky archetype.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
Like, vulnerable yet still cutting, low status yet still criticizes everybody. You know, the way that he talked and the way that he joked, I think a lot of people did that, emulated that.
Okay.
So it's a big, I think he had a big influence on culture.
I think so. I now that you bring it up, I could see that. It's sort of like just by virtue of being smart, you know, the assumption that he's the smartest person in the room and therefore can like kind of look down his nose at everybody else.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot of like pathos there.
Yeah,
there's a lot
yeah.
of like insecurity of yourself. And then this is also sort of like a deflection or a shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a weird experience, which was last weekend. Me and Jen were at a bed and breakfast in the Pocono Mountains. And by weird hack. All right. So the day before Matt Perry died, we were in the library. It's like this old manor. It was really beautiful. And there were like board games there. And it was like Friends Monopoly, Friends Clue. For like
all Friends.
And Jen was like, wow, someone really loves Friends here. And then the more he died. And then the next morning, you know, like they make you breakfast and stuff. And one of the husband and wife own it. And she put on like Friends episodes in the old book. There's like an old tavern that's part of it that's like from like 18, whatever the fuck.
Okay.
And she was like, I'm so sad that Matthew Perry died.
Aww.
And I was like,
I guess she's the one who had all those games.
Yeah. I was like, really? She was like, yeah. She was like, I learned to speak English by watching Friends.
Oh my God. She's like, would you like any more coffee?
She did have that inflection. And she was like, Matthew Perry's book is my favorite book. I was like, your favorite
book? His memoir?
Book
okay.
Of all the books.
Wow.
That is your favorite of them. But whatever.
Okay, okay.
So I felt bad for her.
Wow, she really had a really terrible
time.
She really
was heartbroken.
That's awful.
And I was like, not that I, how do I put this? I don't enjoy other people's pain, but something about her genuine feeling made me feel it genuinely, like, aw.
Yeah.
Like I felt it more.
Right. Because
someone was just like, had this huge, deep
connection
with him.
To that person. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's like anything else. If there's like a person in your life who's connected to the tragedy in some way, you feel connected to the tragedy in some way, even if this is an innkeeper you just met.
Yes.
You're like, well, you're in my life now. So I feel your pain.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's very sad. Oh, well.
Yeah. So let's move on to some not sad news.
Okay.
Wait, where do I have this? Hold on. I couldn't be less prepared today. here we go. I burp. Okay, this is, I got this from comicbook.com.
Okay.
Okay. Sesame Street to be reimagined in 2025.
Interesting.
Sesame Street will make a format change and add a new animated series, Tales from 1-2-3, for season 56. We're coming on season 56.
Wow. Incredible. Sesame Street. Incredible.
By the way, this could come to nothing because you might remember like 6 years ago, I did a news story when it was me and Emilio doing every episode where I said there was a Sesame Street movie coming out, and it has not. I've not heard a thing about it since then.
They're still working on it.
Stars attached and everything.
Jeez.
Word on the street. Word on the street is that 123 Sesame Street is getting an overhaul. Mm. Sesame Street will undergo a, quote, reimagining for its upcoming 56th season in 2025. With the beloved PBS and Max educational children's series moving away from the classic magazine format for a more story and narrative-driven segment, according to Hollywood Reporter, which first reported the format changes. The format for Sesame Street season 56 will see episodes consist of two 11-minute story segments separated by installments of new 5-minute animated tales from 123. This isn't the first format change in the long-running Sesame Street, which airs its 54th season in November. Oh, so they're like looking way ahead. In 2002, producers revamped the show to add a more set structure, and in 2016, PBS shortened episodes from 6 to 30 minutes to adapt to the streaming era. This is interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny because I mean,
why change now? It's been 56 seasons.
Well, it makes me feel like they want to save money and make it more maybe more streamable, make it easier to like cut up and put different places.
Okay.
It's interesting. It's
always appealed to the youngest viewers because it lacks narrativity in that way.
Right.
That there's sort of a frame narrative, and then it's small little segments, and some are musical, and some are narrative, and you know, some are just like illustrations of the ABCs.
Right.
And I think
I've never thought of that as a magazine format. Like the Today Show.
What they call right?
Like I think if to me a magazine format is like news, something else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely a segmented format.
Yeah, I would think of it more as a variety show. Like this is
closer to that.
But, yeah, sort of like the Muppet Show. It's like this is what we're doing today. And
oh look, it's James Gandolfini. Right. Hey, how you fucking Muppets doing? I love. There's nothing that tickles me pinker than a weird cameo on the Muppets. Because no one says no.
No.
Nobody
says
no.
You don't say no to the Muppets. You always say, me? Who, me? They're the biggest celebrities.
It's Werner Herzog.
Oh, my God.
You Muppets do not understand pain. Oscar.
It's the best when they bring out people and they're just like poking fun of their public persona.
Yeah.
And like pair them up with a Muppet who's just with them.
James Gandolfini, he did a thing about like being scared of the dark. He was like, you know, I'm really scared. Like he was just super vulnerable, sweet man.
Aw. There was one Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso was on recently.
Really?
And in Ted Lasso, he's like the foulest mouthed person. Yeah. And he's like, I'm here to talk about words that start with F. And he's like, oh, what words start with F? He's like, friend. Fair. It's like incredible. All very nice words that start with F. He's delivering them like F-bombs, like one after the other. Family.
So that would imply, right, that there's got to be some adult audience.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a whole Game of Thrones sketch like a while back.
There was
which is like, who's that for? Just mom and dad.
In the 90s, there was like a pretty long fucking Twin Peaks sketch. Did you ever see that?
I did. I have seen that, yeah.
So are they moving away from that shit?
I hope. I mean, I guess so, but that's sad because they're so good.
I feel like this, as much as it's like an institution, it is an institution that's been sort of floundering for a while now because it's been on for half a century. PBS was always public television, but public television, you know, struggles like a lot of other places struggle. And, you know, HBO Max kind of rode in and saved it a few years ago.
Yeah.
Because it was almost going to just stop. And they were like, well, we'll come and we'll co-produce it and then we'll put it on HBO Max. And that kind of gave it new legs. And here we are again sort of retweaking things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's.
I really wish viewers like you would just throw them some more money.
You mean please. Viewers like you?
And the Helena Rubinstein Foundation.
What is she up to?
I think she's up to being dead.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure.
Viewers like you. I always think of the fucking 30 Rock, viewers like you. Do you remember she, like, they're at a PBS event and she's like, this is, I think he's like a Swedish guy. And she's like, this is viewers like you. You may have heard of him. Do you remember that?
No. I don't remember that at all. Oh my God.
It was such a good joke.
Time for a rewatch.
Yeah. When's the last time you did a 30 Rock?
30 Not for watch? A while. It's been a while. It's been a while. And we usually will just do like front to back. We'll just go through the whole series.
Any fear that it won't stand
the
test of time?
I actually don't think it will, but I think it's more of a like, wow, I can't believe they got away with that. Like, good for them. I was talking about this with Anthony, and he was saying something like he had seen an episode recently and was like a little shocked. Just having a couple of years and not seeing it and then watching it and thinking, oh, wow, we were really doing these jokes.
But it's probably wasn't daring. It would be daring now.
It would be daring now.
Because it became more offensive.
Yes, it became more offensive.
Or the people that are offended
time.
By it now have more power to say, hey, that hurts. It hurts when you say that to me.
Yeah, but that was the thing about 30 Rock. It was always making fun of the bigotry, right? And like looking at where they are in society and saying like, we shouldn't be here. Like, we didn't earn this. And sort of poking fun at that. Yeah. I don't know. I think people are overlooking it as a comedy gem nowadays because it's sort of like, it has controversy attached to it, I think. Hmm. Particularly because of Tina Fey. I think she has controversy attached to her.
Yeah.
But she's not losing any work over it. I mean,
yeah.
She does the Ricky Gervais thing of like, I'm never going to apologize ever.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good. I don't care. She's like toxic. And it's like, why exactly? I'm sure there's a big list that somebody wrote that they give it because she did that. I remember the first thing I heard. I mean, people didn't like the way Titus's character was written in.
Well, in that whole storyline of him being a geisha in a past life where he was being canceled in the show, like in the universe of the show, he was being canceled. And people were like, can you believe she did the show like this? And I was like, well, that was you're missing the point. Like, saying. That was the point. I mean, she has done like a impression of a Vietnamese woman on late night TV. So that's like not the best.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not giving her a pass. Don't do impressions of other races. Well, actually, Sherry Shepherd says that on her show. Yeah. On 30 Rock, at one point, one of them is doing an impression of somebody, and Sherry Shepherd's like, don't do impressions of other races, like very quickly shuts it down. So I feel like maybe she's learned, because that was before that season of 30 Rock. So I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
It's just odd to me. I'm not letting her off the hook either, but it's odd to me that she's like, in my head, I'm like, yeah, she's toxic, but I'm like, I can't remember why.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just remember we all decided we're not for her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
Anyway. I remember when she was like, she did a really anodyne fucking bit on SNL. She was like, instead of listening to news, I just eat cake.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
people
were
like, not all of us have the privilege to just turn our backs. And it's like, okay, well, you're right. But also,
it's obviously really because kind of, the news is driving her insane. Like, that she did this
working
bit
hard
that
to make this offensive.
Well, no, I remember that one. And she said in it, she's like, because you know what a... do you know what like a drag like queen or what a trans person, it's like, I can't remember, it wasn't trans, but it was like, do you know what a drag queen is? It's like there's still a 6 foot tall black man who will kick your ass. And I was just like, it was something weird like that, where she was saying something that was either
implying that black people are more
or like violent or aggressive,
scary,
or scary. So it was like a weird thing like that, basically. You're afraid of a black person, essentially.
Okay.
Like, or you should be afraid of a black person. So that wasn't great.
Okay. Anyway, Shane Gillis has a new fucking special, and I'm
Why?
Sure he's making millions of dollars off of.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh.
Scholastic Book Fair.
Okay.
Reverses. This is one of these headlines. It's like, say what you mean.
Oh,
headline.
Yeah.
They reverse opt-in diversity decision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm reading this from Gizmodo. After a few months of intense criticism over a policy that allows schools to remove diverse books, Scholastic has had a change of heart. The massive publishing company, well known for setting up book fairs in schools across the country, had recently put in a policy forcing schools to opt into stocking books with, quote, diverse voices, namely books with queer content or written by people of color, which addresses oppression and racism. The statement from Scholastic reads, in part, "Even if the decision was made with good intentions, we understand now that it was a mistake to separate diverse books and elective case."
Mm.
So it was like they
Did
had...
Did you see the titles?
No.
I saw the titles and they were so, like, safe and tame. Like, I don't know what they thought they were doing. Like,
it's weird because they could have... It's sort of like what it's kind of like you want to do something, but because you do a half measure, it ends up being worse because they were like, we want to promote diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have like a special promotion about diversity. But don't worry, your school doesn't have to do it if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sort of like you could have just put the diverse books in the general pop with the other books.
Yeah.
And, you know, not made a big deal out of promoting them more.
Mm-hmm.
If you were, you know, if you're afraid you were, like, or you could promote them and just
You've
say you have to. You
segregated the books, yeah, essentially.
Right. If you want to promote them and then say, and you have to do it or you can't have a book fair. Like, have the balls. Don't make a step forward and then cower and go, yeah, but you don't have to.
You don't have to do it. Yeah, well, okay, so some of them were biographies about civil rights activist Ruby Bridges, who's like the famous little girl, mm-hmm, you know, who's in all like beautiful little white dress walking to school.
Yeah.
Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. And also,
can you imagine your whole, like a biography, like your life is offensive and we're going to opt out of it.
And you're on the Supreme Court, yeah, or you were a little girl, yeah, when you like made all these headlines. Yeah. So you didn't even really have a choice. Yeah. Like you didn't get to make that decision.
Your existence and your actual lived history does not fit my ideology.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, I don't want you around.
Also, a poetry book called Change Things, a children's anthem by Amanda Gorman.
Mm-hmm.
So just like biography books.
Right.
I just cannot.
Yeah.
Ooh, Reddit says Scholastic offers a bigotry button to school. Ooh.
Who said that?
Yes, Reddit. They're like saying that they in allowing schools to opt out, they've given them basically a bigotry button, right, that they can press.
But now they're saying they're not going to allow them to opt out.
Hmm.
But does that mean they're still going to go along with this? You know, the name of the program was Share Every Story, Celebrate Every Voice. Are they going to not do that program? I mean, it's crazy to have an elective program called Share Every Story. Share Every Story, but it's elective. You don't have to share every story.
Well, this is from NPR from April. Scholastic wanted to license her children's book if she cut out a part about racism. Maggie Takuda Hall wrote a book called Love in the Library.
That was another thing that they took a lot of heat from recently.
Scholastic suggested revisions to her book. And the publisher's only suggested edit was to the author's note. Scholastic had crossed out a key section that references, quote, the deeply American tradition of racism, end quote, to describe the tale's real life historical backdrop. This is the time of forced internment of Japanese Americans,
right,
that she's talking about.
How do you talk about that without talking about racism? Mm. We're in a real crazy place because it's like, this is like a real propaganda kind of place where it's like, we don't want you to conceptualize history a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that I think.
And it's like, look, even if you say it's better now, right? To be like, racism isn't like one of the driving forces.
Well, I
in
think that's
our
the
country,
problem,
it's
right?
Like crazy. Like, really?
I think that was the issue with the wording. It's like our tradition of racism in our country, where it's like, well, don't say that. What happened to you was racist, but don't say America's racist.
Right,
you
right.
know, like we can't be racist
right,
as a
right.
country.
Right.
Even though absolutely everything about our history suggests
right.
that.
Even though it's baked
into
the bricks.
It's like,
well,
not everybody must have been racist. It's like, well, yeah, but our government's right. policies, our history, the fact that we owned people
yeah,
for hundreds of years.
It's like
that's not, all racist.
Right. And to be like, no, you can't have any
Because
critical,
then we're bad. We can't right. be bad.
Right.
We're good.
We are good.
We're always good. So we can't be bad. We can't have a tradition of racism if right. we're the good guys.
Right. And we can't even say not that I'm saying we're good now, but you can't even, like, I'm just from their point of view. Can't they be like, we were bad, but now we're great? They won't accept ever a time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very weird. It's very weird.
Well, I mean, did you see the DeSantis, like, cartoons? And it's just, oh God, who published this? But it's some, like, crazy conservative educational media group that they're going to start teaching, I guess, in the Florida school system, or they already are, where they don't imply, they sort of say it, where, oh gosh, who's, I've lost my mind, the like most famous abolitionist, he's a free,
Frederick,
yes, Frederick Douglass.
Yes.
Frederick Douglass is like, I disagree with how the abolitionists are going about freeing slaves, because I think that we should work within the framework of the government. And also, some people benefit from slavery. It's like, oh, okay, because they have roofs over their heads. I was like, oh, great, great. You're using the slave owner's argument, which was, well, I have to pay for these slaves. I have to feed them. I have to give them clothes. I have to put roofs over there. Yeah. While they're enriching you the entire time. It's incredible. But yeah, that's what they teach in Florida. So, you know, well, have fun if you live there. Also, apparently their septic systems can't handle the amount of people who moved there recently. So good luck living in your shit state, shit Florida. Fest.
That's going to really fuck with the crocodiles.
Oh my God. They're imagine all the snakes coming golems. Right out of the toilet bowls.
You know what? Look, Scholastic, just fucking do it. Like, grow a clit and fucking be strong and just be like, you know what? We're gonna fucking, we want you to put these books, or you don't get to have a fucking book fair.
Well, why do we assume that they want to promote diversity?
I don't know.
I don't assume that. I would say, based on that publisher's note, they're more right-leaning than we assume they are. We just assume, like, librarians and books, and we're like, oh, they're lefties. They're cool. Remember the Bush administration when they wouldn't give up any information for the Patriot Act?
Right, right.
But, like, Scholastic's not that.
Right.
They're a company.
Yeah, I don't
they
know.
They don't give a shit.
I don't know why. Then I don't know why they wanted to do...
And I say this as former chair of a Scholastic book fair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Scathing.
Yeah. That's right.
I don't know why. Then why do you think they did that? Why do they think they did this at all? Every voice is every.
I think they need
story.
To have it, right? Mm. Like, I think they're like, oh, that'll sell, or that's like of the moment, right? Like, we need something like that,
right?
But let's not. People don't need to carry it. Like, it's fine. They can have it. They cannot have it. It's not essential.
They seem to buckle under pressure
pretty quickly from either side.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. We need a mole on the inside.
Yes, we do. All right. You want to go to Trailer Corner?
Yeah, let's go.
Trailers. let's, okay. What are we trailer? What are we dealing with?
Oh.
Yeah?
You should call it the Trailer Park.
I think other people have taken that.
Have they taken it?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no notes about these trailers. I don't know what I was looking at.
Okay, great. So
no notes. They're all perfect.
How about let's start with the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
No, it's just Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Of the.
just that one extra one.
I feel like this Planet of the Apes series makes a lot of money, does very well. Mm-hmm. They put a lot of money into it. Mm-hmm. Often they have stars in it. Mm-hmm. Yet it doesn't have, like, the reach of, like, a Marvel or a Star Wars.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think...
Yeah, it's not like anybody's t-shirt.
Right.
You know? It's,
but they've all
no one's dressing up as them for Halloween.
They've all been great. Yeah. The first three have been awesome.
Oh, I've seen them all.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed them all.
Yeah.
I can tell you almost nothing about them.
Right. Me too.
I don't remember a goddamn thing. Except,
I just
like, sometimes
really
the monkeys ride on
them.
Horses.
I just
and fire machine
really
guns
liking
at the same time.
Them.
Yeah, I like them. I remember... the guy's name I can never remember. And I remember that he's in it and I can never remember his name because he's a very forgettable name.
Caesar?
No, not Caesar. And Andy Serkis, of course. But no, the human that isn't James Franco from the first one. The guy who's like in the other two. He's a friend, not a foe.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, see? Because he has a very forgettable name. It's something like Jason John or something like just... Oh, yes. Okay. He plays Tom in The Great Gatsby, the Baz Luhrmann version.
I've not seen that. Okay, let's look at...
Not only did we see it, we brought a bottle of champagne into the movie theater.
War for Planet of the Apes? Are they in that one?
Yeah, I think he's in that one. I think. Yeah.
Is he a human?
He's a human.
I don't see a Jason in this fucking cast.
Maybe he's in just the second one then.
He might just be in the second one, which was Dawn? Right?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Jason Clark.
That's why I can never remember his name.
He plays Malcolm in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So then you and I have similar feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, why is it? Why isn't it penetrating?
Okay.
Because they're great. I've seen everyone and went, wow, that's fucking great.
We remember Caesar. We remember that character.
Right.
But
you know what? He was in the old movies. And I think I remember him because he was a character in the old movies.
Well, because the first one's about him. It's just about him as a baby.
Yeah.
And like, so we're really emotionally attached to him.
Yeah.
We're following his hero's journey throughout these films. And like, I don't care about anybody else, really. I don't know.
I found that when I would have to watch them, I'd have to like look back and be like, oh yeah, that guy was a bad ape.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
They all sort of blend together. You know, humans are very bad at recognizing differences in animals' faces. Uh-huh. So even though humans are making the movie, not apes.
Yeah.
And so they're like, the artists, I imagine, are trying to give them some kind of distinctive quality so we can tell them apart when they're in scenes together. I still think it's a problem with our recognition skills.
Right. Because they look amazing, by the way.
They look great.
They look like we did it. We got a bunch of apes together and said, you guys are going to be in a movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I truly think it's because of that. Like, it all blends together. They did this incredible study that where we apparently, as human beings, still have this trait, but it goes away by like 6 or 9 months. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Before we're age one, they did a test where they showed babies pictures of lemurs, and they were all different lemurs.
Uh-huh.
And when young babies are stimulated, when they're seeing an image for the first time, they get very excited, and they usually show excitement. So they showed babies at, like, I would say 6 months old, right?
Yeah.
Pictures of all these different lemurs. And with each different lemur, the baby would get excited, like, oh, that's a new picture. And then they did the same test with an older group of babies, and the babies, after like 2 or 3 pictures, were getting bored. Like, I don't know why you keep showing me the same picture of this lemur.
Interesting.
It was very interesting. So there's something in our lizard brains where we used to be able to tell animal faces apart as well.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not this movie.
So is that why so many newborns love this series?
This is Henry's first movie. My God, he loved it.
He
so
absolutely
much.
Loved it.
He loved it. He's like, Mom, let me be Caesar for Halloween, please.
Yeah.
I'm just like, let's go to the barbershop, roll around in some hair.
Yeah. Come on, put your money where your mouth is. I'm going to see it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to be like, that is the fucking greatest thing ever.
There it is. And you know what? It's like a big, loud action. Oh, you know what? No, it's not, though. It's not a big, loud action movie. It has big, loud parts. But it's not
pretty.
Like,
it's pretty much a drama.
It's a drama. Yeah, it's very dramatic.
It's really like, you know, like there was the original series, which I love, but they're, you know, it's from the 70s and 60s mm-hmm. and whatever. And then there was the Tim Burton remake, which
sucked.
Yes,
which I saw in theaters.
Me too. Not great.
No. I feel like I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell anything apart.
And then the first one of these came out with the one with James Franco. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, this is interesting. And it ended up being good. And then it just kept going. And it's like, wow, they're like really doing it. Like this series, I think, usurps the original series. And I know people love the original series.
In terms of quality, yeah, for sure. I would say so.
And it's almost doing the same thing. Like the original series, the first movie of this new series where Caesar's a baby, that's sort of like, I think, part 5 of the original series. The original series makes a loop. And I don't know if this series is going to do the same thing.
Huh, okay.
But we're at the point, at least in this trailer, where like you see humans in like
cave people clothes.
Like cave people clothes, yeah. Being round up.
Yeah.
Now, in the original movie, they lobotomized them, which is what made them not be able to speak.
Huh, okay.
But I think they did that in secret.
Huh.
So I wonder if that's where we're at this point mm-hmm. in the storyline. Because in the last one, the one that had... And by the way, all the titles are interchangeable. Rise, Dawn,
yeah.
Kingdom. It all could be anything.
Yeah.
The last one was one that had Woody Harrelson as the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically like the apes had all but fucking won, except like they were like one stronghold of humans, mm-hmm. I think. Who could remember? Mm-mm. But anyway, it's going to be great.
Well, yeah.
And then no one's gonna remember it.
It just always, it struck me as sort of also small potatoes, like it was in the Pacific Northwest that they had taken over, but like surely not the world, like the entire world. But then he's in that like camp in Siberia or wherever he is.
I don't know if this is a spoiler because I don't remember it, but I think Caesar died in the end of the last one.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Caesar's not in this. Andy Serkis isn't in this.
Right. I'm sort of like, well, how much time has passed since the last one where Woody Harrelson was still like a guy who could speak English, dressed in military fatigues, could plan, had a gun, used a weapon, to like now when they're like,
maybe when they won, they were like, let's lobotomize these fuckers.
Get them all.
Yeah. It's interesting the way it started. Like, unlike the original movie that where like it was Planet of the Apes and then the surprise at the end is that it was Earth.
Mm-hmm.
This series was like, let's just start.
Yeah.
I think the first movie, like, James Franco was a scientist who's trying to, like, cure Alzheimer's.
Right.
And the cure of Alzheimer's makes his ape, which is a baby,
mm-hmm. have intelligent
Caesar,
speech,
really
right?
intelligent. Yeah. And then he speaks. He says no.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody tries to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Gives me chills. No.
No. Which is a lot of babies' first words.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, and he was so cute, little baby Caesar. Come on, when he's running around the house.
Oh, my goodness. A little diapy.
Oh, boy. Anyway, what were we just talking about? All right, so the next trailer is... Let's talk about David Holmes, The Boy Who Lived.
No.
All right, let's move on.
Oh.
So what's this all about?
It's a documentary executive produced by Daniel Radcliffe about the man who performed as his stunt double in the Harry Potter films who suffered a catastrophic injury that left him paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
He broke his neck. And he was a kid. You know, he was...
They're like roughly the same age.
Yeah, he's slightly older, but he was like a teen doing these things.
And they grew up together. They did all the Harry Potter movies together.
Right, so they were close. I mean, all of them were close with him. And so it was something that really devastated everybody, but also, I mean, also, and especially him, whose, you know, mobility was completely canceled.
Right.
And, you know, it's about his life, you know, post-injury and his life pre-injury, like what that was all about.
Yeah, yeah. It seems just from the trailer that it's going to be an uplifting story. Like, it'll be hard and sad, but it seems like he's one of these guys who's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going out there.
Well, I mean, the title, right? It's like The Boy Who Lived.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not giving up. He's not. Right. He's refusing to give up. He's going to keep living his life despite, you know, not being able to do any of the things. Well, there's one part in the trailer where he says, like, I used to define myself by what I did and, like, what my job was and what my role was. And he's like, and now what this has taught me is to be present in my life and to be present in the moments because I can't define myself by what I did.
Right, right.
You know, like, what's rough job.
Right.
Is.
I mean, you lose your mobility and your career and in some ways your identity.
Right.
Right. Like that's
his,
huge.
Like, his identity was this. Like, I'm a stuntman. I do this stuff. I'm like, it's like the coolest job in the world. He has like the dream role. I'm a Harry Potter stuntman.
Right, right, right. I don't mean to be glib, but sometimes I do wonder, like, would I be. I feel like if I were to suffer some sort of grave injury, being that I already have such issues with depression, that I would not survive. Although, you know, some might say, no, you don't know. You won't know until it happens. And then you have inner strength that you're not aware of.
Mm.
But part of me is like, I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know.
Probably.
What about you? You think you'd thrive?
I have to. I'm a mom. Right? You can't just like lay down and die. You have to just keep going. You can't like you're walking around stuff, bless you. Stuff that would have taken me out years ago where I'm like, I gotta call in sick for work. It's like there is no sick day. There's two little people who need you 24/7 and you're just like, okay, well I guess I gotta do this now. Okay. So just out of pure necessity, I think you'd have to. You just have to.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so someone without children, am I a worse person, you think?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, Disney adult, like, you know, wasting your money, wasting your time, you know, all that stuff.
I understand.
But you're a vegetarian, so, you know, there's that.
I haven't brought any more mouths into this planet. So
that's true.
I'm not replacing myself.
Well, good.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like an uplifting documentary. I mean, it just further cements how fucking cool Daniel Radcliffe is.
God, he's so cool.
He's just like the nicest, coolest fucking guy ever.
Oh, you're like a decent guy.
You're just a real fucking dude. You're a real mensch.
So cool. And also, it got crazy hot in recent years. Like, what's that about? Matthew Lewis always was the one where they, you know, the glow up, right? Like, whoa, what happened to him? Neville Longbottom. But yeah, Daniel Radcliffe, I guess the most recent season of Miracle Workers, like, he's super shredded, but not even talking about that. On the, like, the little, like, the widget on Hulu, if you look really quick, he looks like Chris Evans. Like, he's got, like, a beard, he's got the thing, the hair's looking good. I was like, geez, what happened to you? Good for you.
Yeah.
And now he's a dad, so he's like a real person.
He's like, he's an honest person.
Yeah, he's a human now.
Does he have, not that he has to, but does he have a wife? Does he have a partner? Or is he just...
No, I don't think he's like one of those...
He's just seeding children around the world.
I think people have probably tried to give him a baby at one point.
Sure.
Right? I mean, why not? He probably gets babies left on his doorstep in like a little Harry Potter blanket.
Oh, God. What a nightmare.
All damn day. But no, I believe he has a partner. I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well, that's good. Good for everybody involved. All right. So the last trailer is Freud's Last Session, which stars... this is a real drama.
Matthew Good
as C.S. Lewis, and Anthony Hopkins, right? As Sigmund Freud. Here's how dumb I am, or how little I was paying attention. When I first saw the trailer, I was like, what's this about? Like, I know that guy's Freud. It wasn't to the end. I was like, oh, that other guy's C.S. Lewis.
Who's this man coming and bothering him? But also, why is he bothering him? It's like, you come to my house, I'm not bothering you.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to prove to you God exists. It's like, go to church. Leave me alone.
It seems like a real play because it's men in a room. And it's two men in a room talking aggressively at each other, having different points of view.
Yeah.
I was saying to you off the air, like, this movie sort of poses Freud as like the ultimate atheist, which is not at all how I think of Freud.
No.
Like, he is
an
atheist.
I actually didn't know he was an atheist until watching this trailer. I was like, oh, okay.
I don't think it, I mean, I've read a good amount of Freud for a normal human, like, you know, like, not a Freud expert. Like, it's not like his thing. Like, he's like a naturalist. You know what I mean? Like, he's all about nature and science. Like, it seemed like he's not Darwin. Like, it's not fundamental to him that he doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
But it seems like this movie is about, like, he is Mr. I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
And then C.S. Lewis obviously is like a very deeply devout Christian person.
And it's on the cast list. At some point, J.R.R. Tolkien shows up.
Is that true or not?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Who plays Tolkien?
I don't know. But they were good friends, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. Tolkien.
I mean, either way, it's fine, but it's really Tolkien.
Tolkien.
Who plays Tolkien?
Someone who graduated from the British Academy of Dramatic Tricks.
Incredible. Freud's Last Session. See, Anthony Hopkins is just like, I think he is great, by the way. He's great. I'm not about to take him down, but.
Oh, I wish you would.
It's just like. Is he all we have when it comes to like prestige? Like he's like the go-to guy for like, we need a serious older gent.
I know, but
he doesn't look anything like Freud.
No.
He doesn't remind me of Freud at all.
There's a movie, oh shit.
Oh, Stephen Campbell Moore is J.R.R. Tolkien.
All right. Well,
I don't know who the fuck that
is. Oh, my Moreheads, where you at? I don't know. There's so many feelings.
Job.
I just made like 10 sounds, but I didn't say anything.
He's great. He's great, but it's like...
When is he different, though?
Well, it's hard to be different when you're like... Every role is like, you're Freud. You're Odin. You're like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, you're an old guy with the gravitas.
Yeah.
But like, okay.
Exactly. You've got gravitas. I want to see him play like a lowly street sweeper.
Well, like, but even then he's like the mystic, he may be a street sweeper, but he is the wisdom of the ages within him.
He was kind of vulnerable in The Father because he had dementia.
Oh, yes. I wanted to see that. And he was
very vulnerable in that.
Okay. Okay.
But still,
that's interesting.
But he still carried a sort of gravitas with himself. Mm,
okay, okay. Yeah, I just want one thing where he's like silly.
Right. Probably the Thor movies is as silly as it gets. Because he can't take that seriously, can he?
What?
The Thor movies?
Oh, the Thor movies. Yeah, but he's kind of doing his thing. I think of Legends of the Fall a lot. Where he's still like not that old. In that movie.
I don't think I've seen that.
It came out in the 90s. It's that movie with Brad Pitt where he's like, you know, the most beautiful man alive.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But he plays their dad, like three brothers. He plays their dad and he's like a Montana like landowner. He's like a ranch man, you know? And he's doing Anthony Hopkins' voice.
As a ranch man?
Yeah. And he wears like a big bearskin coat and he's got a big hat and you're like, here comes old Wild Bill Hickok. And it's like, oh no, there's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. But you know what? Hannibal Lecter is probably his most diverse role. It's probably
his most interesting one. Yeah, I would say
Because at least he's menacing and got a wild, he's got a wily eye. There's a craziness behind his eyes. Yeah. You know, he's not so fucking avuncular.
I would say in Silence of the Lambs, yes, Hannibal, no, because he's already doing his thing by then. He's got his like, this works for me and that's what I'm going to do. Mm. He's the same in that. He's the same in the Transformers films.
I'm sorry, what?
He's in a Transformers movie.
He is?
Yeah.
As a man or as a Transformer?
As a man. I wish as a Transformer, but let's see which one. I think it's...
Is he King Arthur in that weird King Arthur one?
There's a King Arthur one?
Yes, there is. Oh, hold on. There is a King Arthur one. I bet you didn't know that the Knights of the Round Table actually transform of robots.
I just wish you'd call him Antony.
Antony, sorry.
Antony. It is Anthony. I think, who called him that? Gwyneth Paltrow? I feel like it must have been Gwyneth Paltrow.
A fake British Anthony. Person.
Well, he's in another movie coming up, One Life.
He does a lot of work.
What is that?
He's got a lot to do to his house.
It's a money pit.
Oh my God.
That's why he's got so much work. He just hates his wife. He never wants to go home.
He was born in 1937.
Okay.
Quick math. How old does that make him?
100. I mean, he's up there. He's in his 80s.
1000? He played Hitchcock. I remember that. Again, it's the same gravitas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gravitas.
Transformers The Last Knight.
That's the one.
Okay.
Is he King Arthur? Is he Merlin?
He looks like a man. Like just a regular
Merlin
guy.
Was a man.
No, wasn't he's wearing like a suit. Look.
Oh, like a... Not
from the round table.
Wait, no, he played, I got it right here. He played Sir Edmund Burton.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well,
wait, he's played C.S. Lewis.
When? Where?
In a movie called Shadowlands.
When was that?
And it's about the relationship between C.S. Lewis and Jewish American poet Joy Davidman, played by Deborah Winger.
When was that?
What? Her death from cancer and how this challenged his Christianity. That's the movie I want to see. Directed by Richard Attenborough.
So that's going
and
back.
And also
some.
Based on a stage play.
So he's played. This is odd.
Oh my goodness.
You think he's like super into.
You know.
C.S. Lewis.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
He brought the project to the director and he was like, I want to play C.S. Lewis. And they're like,
He's played.
Anthony, you can't play C.S. Lewis anymore.
He's played C.S. Lewis. He's played Richard Nixon. He's played Pablo Picasso. He's played John Quincy Adams.
He's the narrator in How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, see, that's right. He is.
Again, gravitas.
Oh, see, I wanted to see the two popes.
I did not see that.
Because he played Pope Benedict, and he looks like Pope Benedict.
He played Nixon in Nixon. I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. Maybe I didn't. I saw
Frost
Nixon.
Oh, and he was
on
Westworld. He was Anthony Hopkins on Westworld, but
he's Anthony Hopkins and around. Again, he does it great. He does a great job. Oh, wait. I just watched this recently. Mm-hmm. Francis Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, yeah.
He's
oh, my God. He's
unhinged.
So good as Van Helsing.
He's so
well,
unhinged.
Imagine that. That's just in, like, the American West. That's his
when he's, like, humping
Legends
people. He's humping people in that movie. He's so crazy, is Van Helsing.
He's helping people.
He gets excited at some point about, like, they're going to go get Dracula. And he, like, runs up to a guy. And he's like, ah, we're going to get him. And he's humping him.
I got to rewatch that. I love that movie and I love him in it. He's my favorite part. He's like, yeah, we cut off her head now and she's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, sir, good sir.
He's, like, eating fucking raw meat at the table. That movie's so good. I just rewatched it. I was like, God damn, this movie is excellent.
Well, he's one of those people who's also like famous for his brusque responses during interviews. Oh. Like, he's not a good interview subject. Mm. Like, someone asked during the Silence of the Lambs press tour, like, did you and Jodie Foster get along well? Like, what was your rapport like? And he's like, yeah, I liked her very much. She showed up to work on time. She knew all her lines. She was a professional. Next.
Yeah. Like, I will not elaborate.
He doesn't have interest in doing any of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and that was, I wonder if he's gotten better at that part of the job.
Maybe.
I think he's.
Maybe not.
I'm getting a memory. He was on Inside the Actor's Studio.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he said that he's a descendant of Yates.
Hmm.
Because he read some Yates.
Okay.
And like cried or something. I don't know. Remember Inside the Actor's Studio?
I do. I really do.
What an exercise. In
Have you ever seen the
blowhardery?
Have you ever seen the thing where, like, Bradley Cooper is a student?
Yes, and
he asks Sean Penn a question.
Yeah.
And then there was that radio clip of Louis C.K. being like, you only see these kids ask questions. And, like, you know, that person never becomes anybody, right? Yeah. Like, they're never anyone. And so they play those back to back. And then there's that that scene from
American Hustle.
Yes, American Hustle, where they're, like, all laughing at Louis C.K. and Bradley Cooper's, like, beating his arm. Like, it's a good one.
Perfect. That's so perfect. Yeah. People do come out of the actor's studio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw the new, we'll talk about it in the next segment, but I saw the new Exorcist movie.
Okay.
And Ellen Burstyn did it only for money to give to the actor studio.
Wow.
She was like, I do not want to do this.
Okay.
But I want it known that I'm doing this.
But what's his face is dead. She hated him, right?
Yeah, but she had no interest in doing this. Yeah. Why would she want to do this?
I don't know. Money for her grandkids.
All right, so they don't talk to her.
Well, spoiler alert, but what's her face is back, right? Regan? She came back.
Brian Regan?
Oh, yeah.
The comedian?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with Chill Sesh.
But it just doesn't feel like I need some more stuff.
Pick up your microphone.
I feel like I need to bring holiday lighting
into
every holiday. I'm like, why not Easter lights? We can have little pastel colorful lights.
We were having such a fascinating conversation that everyone needs to hear that I was like, we need to put this on the microphone. Yeah. I was saying to you that you skillfully, artfully, and with great tact and precision. Oh,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Transition from Halloween decor to fall harvest. Decor, sort of leaning towards Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult thing to do because it's not spooky, but it's still cold and dark and cozy. Okay. And it's the same color scheme.
A lot, but not all.
Not all. Wait,
it's
there's
like
no
yellows,
purples.
Browns, oranges. You're right, not getting no the blacks and the purples.
Right. But you do have like crunchy leaves and pumpkins. I mean, pumpkins are like the totem, one of the main totems of Halloween, and it persists throughout the whole fall season.
I think you have like vegetation, whereas you have animals for Halloween, right? So you'll have like your cats, your bats, you know, your spiders. And then for the fall, you do like, you have acorns. Like I do a lot of acorns. We'll do acorns. We have, you know, there's gourds, right? You have corn. You do like a sunflower. I feel like sunflower is earlier fall though. I transition from like the sunflower.
I think of that as spring. Sunflower is fall?
Well, sunflower, I think they collect them at the end of the summer. That's the other thing. Apples usually collect at end of the summer. Like when you're going looking for Honeycrisp in October, babe, you missed it. It's in August. Like
you missed it, asshole.
You missed it, you jagweed. Like you were trying to take a picture with your hot flannel on. You got to go apple picking in a bathing suit because it's hot. So like all of our like things we like to eat, we associate with fall. It's like harvested at the end of the summer.
It's food based. Yeah. It's food based. Yeah. So interesting.
But yes, thank you. I actually really enjoy the slowdown of November. I enjoy it. I'm enjoying it increasingly. As we go hard for Halloween. And it becomes, you know, it's like a thing, right? Like we have a lot of activities and events we go to, and there's a lot of dressing up and doing all kinds of stuff. I know you guys take it very seriously. So I feel like there's a lull between now and Christmas, or the Christmas season, before it really kicks into high gear, where I can just like enjoy, just take a step back and be like, okay, let's take it a little slow for a couple weeks.
And for us, media consumption, of course, is a big part of our celebration.
Yeah.
So like, you know, we did all the, like on Halloween Day this year, we watched in this one day, over the garden wall, Garfield's Halloween Adventure, Treehouse of Horror 1, and Hocus Pocus 2.
Oh, wow.
Just in our fucking row. And that's after months of, you know, me watching scary shit.
Right.
And, you know, spooky shit. But like come Thanksgiving, we're going to watch A Miracle on whatever street that had that miracle.
Yeah.
34th?
Bleecker.
Miracle on Bleecker Street.
Right.
And you know, then you know, like you got your Santa Clauses and
Yeah, I love Santa Claus.
I love A Christmas Story. I love
I could probably recite that movie front to back.
Yeah.
I've just seen it so many times.
The Santa Claus?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was one of those VHSs that I just like just put it back in, watched it again. Just watched it over and over again. I loved
it. It's a good one. There's a second season of the TV show coming out.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Did you watch any of the first season?
I didn't watch any of it. And isn't that wild? I've seen only parts of the sequels. I've never seen the sequels in their entirety.
The, if I'm remembering correctly.
But Martin Short's
in
one of them.
The third one has Martin Short in it. And it's straight up bonkers.
Yeah.
Carts. It was like watching the back of a cereal box. Huh. It was so insane.
Huh.
He's like Jack Frost.
Yeah. Yes. I've seen the character. Yeah. And it's wild.
It gets that insane. Like, I don't know if there's any, like, not fantasy in that movie. It's just bananas.
The first one is so grounded in reality, which is wild. Because there's, like, a competency hearing in a court. Like, it's really sad at times.
We were so interested in divorce in the 90s.
Yes, we really were.
Weren't we?
Because it was allowed.
Yeah.
It was finally allowed.
Yeah.
So it was happening more and more.
But it was the worst thing that could possibly happen.
Still, right? I think of E.T., right? And it's like devastates the family. Whereas I think it's the 90s is finally becoming, well, yeah, that's true. But even then it was sort of becoming more normalized, right? Like I had friends whose parents were divorced.
Yeah.
It's weird. My like peer group, I wouldn't even say my close friend group, like bigger than that. Weirdly, I have not seen the divorces roll in yet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you have any, I can't think of any people my age.
I have one
divorced.
Person whose wedding we went to that is divorced now.
Interesting. I can't think of any that are divorced.
Right, Bo? Yeah. Not too many. I think it's a financial thing, honestly. I think we're in a moment of financial downturn, like an era.
So we really make it work.
You got to make it work with your two incomes. You can't be out there on your own. If you own a home, right? Mm. Like it's, especially interest rates right now, you're not going to break up, go to another house. Come on. I certainly am not talking from my own experience.
Okay.
Rock solid.
Excuse me. How you doing over there, Bill? Great. Talking about the Santa Claus. Kidnap the Santa Claus.
Which is a Christmas movie. We're going to say it.
I disagree entirely.
We're going
to
say
it. To me, it's a Halloween movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
Well, it came out. What is it? October 29th? October 29th. It was released on October 29th. If it's a Halloween movie, they release it earlier in the month. If it's a Christmas movie,
You just said October 29th.
October 29th, yeah.
That's Halloween.
I know, but that doesn't give you enough time to be like, here comes the Halloween movie we're all going to see for 2 days, and then it's not Halloween anymore.
I don't know if I...
What's the ending destination?
Okay, Bill's argument
back
is
to Halloween.
The destination is always... what the movie is about.
No, because I think
and they end
its aesthetics are always, but it ends back at Halloween.
Well, they're back in Halloween Town, but it's not Halloween yet. It's Christmas Day.
He learns a lesson of you can't change and you shouldn't.
That's true. I know. What is that lesson?
Don't ever try.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah. See, I would say that
never strive.
I would say that it's a Halloween movie because its aesthetics are always Halloween. Like, even in Santa Land, Santa is bizarre looking. Mm-hmm. It would have been an interesting choice if, like, Halloween Town looked like it did, and then Christmas Town looked like
it wasn't in the same artistic style. It
yeah, was like what if it were it like Rankin Bass? Yes.
Yep.
But
did we just Freaky Friday?
What? Sonny, what have you been chilling with? Chill sesh. The
sesh will be chill. Well, a few things. So we just started Loki. It's like, I think it's on its fifth episode now. There's only six episodes, but we're not caught up at all. I think we've only done two.
It's on its last leg is where it's on.
Yeah, we're not loving it so far. But we really like the first season. So whatever. We'll probably just watch the whole thing.
How do you feel about Marvel in general?
I haven't been keeping up with it. I just haven't been interested, honestly. I'm like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Unless it's a character I really like. Like, I liked Loki from the first season. I thought it was strong enough on its own. Because they literally take him out of the timeline. Yeah. And then you're like, you're your own thing now. You do your own thing here. Which works. It's like, okay, we're doing a totally new story. But then it's Marvel. So they try to, like, introduce a character that's going to attach it to all the other properties.
Sure,
and
sure.
Then turns out he's a domestic abuser. So now we can't use
him.
Right,
right.
So I don't know if he shows up more prominently later in the season, but we're already two episodes in, and like the big bad we haven't seen. And I think they're talking about him. They're referring to him, but he is not on the screen. And so I think they ran into this issue of like, this thing happened.
Yeah.
And now, well, what are we going to do?
The big bad is, what's his name?
Is Kang.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Who's also in
Ant-Man.
The Ant-Man movie. Yeah. Right.
So, and he's in it, in that one. But his visage has been revealed on a fresco on a wall, and you hear his voice, but that's it.
So, because in real life, the actor was he arrested? Was he tried? I forget.
I think he was charged with.
Domestic abuse. Mm. Marvel is... Do you think they're really just going
to... I don't know that they've cut ties with him, because they really went all in. And he's a great actor, which is just like, oh, okay, well... Why do that? I don't know.
Mm.
But it just... And people are stupid.
They're kind of floundering. Even without him, right? Even without that weird situation.
Jonathan Majors.
Yeah. Even without that, though.
Oh, breaking from 11 minutes ago. Crisis at Marvel. Jonathan Majors' backup plans. Marvel reportedly considering recasting role. Wow.
Maybe they feel like we got
considering pivoting to Doctor Doom.
So not even just recasting, like... changing the plans of who the new big bad's gonna be.
Yeah.
Doctor Doom. Yeah. Wow. You know, they announced the Fantastic Four movie 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
She gets announced so fucking early.
What? Another. Jesus. Well, now, New York prosecutors disclosed last week that they obtained a police report from the Metropolitan Police in London relevant to the actor's domestic violence case, and that there are reports in London as well that he's assaulted women. So he's done. He's done so. And he should be.
Right.
I mean, especially, it looks terrible because I think he was on the cover of Men's Health like the week before the charges were filed or before like the accusations came out. And he looked so... like jacked because he was in the Creed movie boxer and he looks like a heavyweight champ. Yeah, like he looks like in crazy shape and he's shirtless. You see like all his big muscles and like he's sort of a slim guy prior to this. So now he looks humongous and he beat a woman. So you're like, great, just great. Like, what is this?
I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even, you know, like I was saying, even besides that tragic fucking tragedy there, they've kind of don't know where they're going. They've kind of been floundering, and
that doesn't help. But yes,
the Eternals, which I didn't see, the Eternals like kind of
it wasn't good. We saw it.
Yeah,
it was not. It was kind of boring.
The second Black Panther bored me to tears.
I didn't see it. I loved the first one. But,
the first one's good. The second one just was so goddamn boring.
I also think
the Marvels is coming out. That's probably gonna do bad. We'll see.
I loved Captain Marvel.
Me too.
I thought Miss Marvel started strong, completely lost its way.
Yeah, I watched like two of those and then I was like, all right.
It's like, it lost its charm after like the first two episodes.
The comic was better because the comic was more on its own.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they don't realize that there's narrative potential of not connecting things.
Yeah. Which is the strength of Loki, but it's why it's floundering now, because they introduced this guy in the last episode of last season. So the whole season was strong. And now it's like, okay, well, we've got to fix this crisis that's occurring because of this guy. So now they're trying to focus more on the time crisis than the actual bad guy.
What's Kang like as a... I've seen none of this. What's he like as a bad guy? Is he just another big tough?
He's not...
Is he like Thanos?
Maybe in Ant-Man, because there's different what they would call variants of him.
Uh-huh.
So there's some variants that are very like warlike and aggressive, and there's some variants who are like more... I don't know, like wizard-like, I guess.
Okay.
So the one that we meet in at the end of Loki is, he's called He Who Remains, and he exists like hidden in time, like at the end of the world. So they can jump to anywhere in the timeline.
Uh-huh.
And so at the end of the universe, like the opposite of the Big Bang, essentially, he's like hidden himself. And that's where he tries to engineer the timeline, and every time something happens, there's like branches and alternate timelines and alternate dimensions that are created. And so he created the TVA, which is the Time Variance Authority, which is what this whole show Loki is about, to go in and prune the branches to anytime there's another branch, they try to get rid of it. And they keep it on what's called like the sacred timeline, right? Uh-huh. And so the reason he does this, what we find in the last episode, is actually to prevent variants of himself from appearing. And because they all go to war with each other. Like they're all aware of each other and they all go to war with each other. And then it's like Kangs dominate the universe and it's like a terrible thing. So he's like supposedly the good one, even though he's like committing atrocities.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, no, you don't want to meet me. And he's sort of like, it's very similar.
What is Kodos doing?
Who?
Kodos?
I don't know who that is.
Kang and Kodos?
Oh, stop it. Get out of town.
This is not your usual Halloween fair.
You know what I say to that? Take a hike.
Oh, sorry. Don't be naming people names that are beloved characters.
Kang. But isn't it Kang like a name that's been used in other things?
Yeah, The Simpsons.
Besides that, like older media.
No, I don't think so.
No?
Okay. No, I don't know. I'm just saying what I want to say.
Oh, right. My dad and I were in the car and we were listening.
They called him Kang in high school.
We called him Kang. We were listening to, this is just a tangent about what I'm chilling with. I've been chilling with a lot of Halloween music, of course. Specifically, the DTV Monster Hits playlist that's available on Spotify you can listen to.
So good.
So Henry was in the back and he knows my dad is very old. He's about to celebrate his 80th birthday. And he's asking him, do you know this song? Have you ever heard of this song? Have you ever heard of this song? And they're all like songs from like the 70s and stuff. And then Monster Mash came on. He's like, oh, yeah, I know this one for sure. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you went to school with Bobby Boris Pickett, right? He's like, oh, I used to watch this old show. He's like, Zachary. And I was like, Zachary, what's that? He's like, he would introduce, he was a host. He was a horror host. I've never heard of this person.
Zachary.
So my father got the name wrong, but it was Zachary Lee.
Still, I haven't heard
I think the guy's name was like John Zachary, and he was like an Elvira type horror movie.
There was a lot of them.
And this was like my dad's guy. It was Zachary. And he's like, yeah, he used to, you know, he was a host.
Where was this?
On television.
But where did your dad live as a kid?
Long Island. Yeah, this, look.
I don't know that guy at all.
I know.
I know Elvis. I know Elvira. I know Svengoolie.
Svengoolie. He served the New York City market. He hosted Shock Theater and then later on Chiller Theater. He was really close friends with Dick Clark, and sometimes he would have him on Bandstand as the cool ghoul.
You know how a lot of those, how that started? I was just reading about this because I was reading about Universal Monsters. In like, I guess the 60s, Universal, as a way of like making money again off of all their monster movies, packaged them all together and sold them to every like market.
Okay.
Like for like a pretty good price. And they all basically were like, all right, we'll come up with our own spooky host and just like show these movies.
Yeah.
And
I guess that's why there's such a proliferation of these hosts, right?
Yeah. There was a lot of them.
Yeah.
I like Joe Bob Briggs. He's a little bit later on.
Joe Bob. Yeah, I know about him.
He's on Shudder now. He's still doing it.
He's still doing it, huh? Yeah. Okay, okay. Doesn't he look like sort of like an Elvis type?
He's weird because he's sort of a character.
Mm.
I don't know if he is the person that he is. Well, I know his name isn't Joe Bob Briggs. But I don't know. It's weird because it's like his character isn't like spooky like Elvira. Its character's like good old boy, but okay. It's still like horror movies.
Okay, okay.
It's really interesting.
Huh.
But I think he had like, I read like he had started as like a journalist or something. It's interesting how he got into it. I've been chilling. Well, I saw the new Exorcist movie.
Okay.
Because I was off this week. And
it's so funny because in the last episode with Anthony, you're like, I'm not going to see it.
No, I wasn't going to. I was off all week and I was like, well, you know, I have the Alamo Pass where I could go every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, let me go see something that Jen would never want to see.
Right, right.
Just got a little lone movie time. And I went. It was me and like two other people in the theater, the smallest theater they had. And here's my hot take. It's not that hot. Don't put on the oven mitts. It's not terrible. It's okay. I mean, it's the third best one of like, what are there, six or something?
What would you say? 1, 3, and then this?
Yeah, 1, 3, this.
Yeah.
And then 2 and 4, or that prequel.
Yeah.
Or way down at the end. Okay. And there's two versions of the prequel. There's one written and directed by Paul Schrader, and then one written and directed by Rennie Harlan. And I think like between the two of them, they share like 20% of the footage.
Weird.
So, but it was so reshot and redone. It's basically like two different movies.
Wow.
It was good. Like it, I would not give it credit for, it wasn't that scary. And I think on purpose, because I think it was trying to be classy, but I think, it was, it doesn't, you know, you would never give it like, you would never give it a good grade on originality, right? Because it's you know exactly what you're going to get. But it's by no means awful.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna get on my big liberal soapbox and say that people don't like it because there's a black guy and a black girl. And there's two girls now, and one's black and one's white. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Catholic priests. It's a priest and a shaman and a root doctor, and they go out of the way to say like it's not about any particular religion, it's about community is the higher power, which is very socialist, and I think that rubs people the wrong ways.
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm not necessarily saying that like everybody who dislikes it is like a bigot, but I do think there are some people that, I guess this also goes back to like the scholastic thing we were talking about, I think there are some people that feel like prejudice is not really a problem. Mm. Like we finished it, we're done. Mm. So like when a text tries to like deal with prejudice, they feel like it's more of like a gimmick than like a genuine message, or they feel like Hollywood is pushing liberalism on the rest of the country.
Do you feel like there's a message about prejudice in it, or?
I do think it very strongly is saying, unlike the first movie where like it's very Catholic.
Yeah.
It's very much saying like any faith works.
Okay.
In this case.
Okay.
But other than that, no, I don't think it's that strong. But right. people feel like it's political if you make characters different colors and stuff. And I'm not saying it isn't. I mean, maybe they are pandering in some way, but it's like the was it the last episode? No, it would be two episodes ago when me and Anthony were talking about Amber Heard. Like there are some people where it's like you may criticize them, but for some reason it's like Knives Out. Like, yeah, let's dig in on this. Let's fucking really get all vitriol out. Like, people are like, this is the worst movie ever. And it's like, it's a middling.
Right.
Exorcist movie. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's got some cool images. It's anodyne. I mean, it's like it's not good or bad enough to be in any way like
making something to be so passionate
angry.
About. Yeah.
Yeah, so passionately angry.
Yeah. It's like, how could anyone feel passionately about this?
Yeah. I mean, and I went in like, okay, let's do this bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, the first act was pretty strong and the acting was good and the drama was good. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, when's this shit going to turn? When's it going to turn?
Yeah.
And I guess if it does turn at all, it's the exorcism, which is the end, because it is like a fucking Avengers of different religions, you know?
And we got a Shriner. He was riding around in his little car outside.
Except maybe this pisses people off. This is a spoiler too. Spoiler alert. 3, 2, 1. The Catholic priest doesn't want to join. He's like, they told me I can't. He doesn't show up until the very end.
Okay. Is that because exorcisms have to be approved by the Vatican, which is true?
Yeah. So he was like, they don't want me to do it, so I don't do it. So he like stays in his car and prays while the rest of them do their thing.
Oh, good.
But
I only know that because How Did This Get Made recently did The Pope's Exorcist, which June Diane Raphael and I had the same assumption based on the title that the Pope needed an exorcism, which is cool, but that's not the case.
It's his number one guy. He's number one exorcist.
It's his like bad cop Ghostbuster gets him out. Sexy. Like, go get the exorcists. I mean, go get the demons out of these people, out of all these Italians.
There's a lot of that in the Exorcist TV series.
Okay, okay.
A lot of like...
But you know, like he's got the collar. He takes the collar off. He's like,
I'm not your daddy's exorcist.
And it's Russell Crowe doing a like a Waluigi accent. he's crazy.
He has morphed so much as a star. Physically and just in our minds. It's wild. Yeah, I've heard people say that movie is surprisingly entertaining.
They all agreed that they loved it. There's going to be a sequel. They're excited about it. And they're like, he makes the movie because it's not a great movie.
Sure.
The script is not great, but he has so much magnetism on screen that you can't take your eyes off him. He's wonderful. Just because he's being Russell Crowe as a priest, as a weird Italian priest. And like... They said there's one part at the end where they have like the crucifixes in their hands, but they're like metal. Yeah. And so they're doing a lot of like you see them moving around with the crucifixes and they're like one like priest passing to the other. Yes, like a gun. Yeah. Like they're like, sometimes it looks like a gun holster and they're like making sort of like gun sounds. There's like a clicking
That's
sounds
awesome.
Like guns, but they're all crucifixes. I'm like, I have to see this movie.
I really want to see it now. That sounds incredible.
And there's also, he is always like, ripping ass on a Vespa, just like tearing through Rome. And like at times he's gotta go to France. And then you just see him leave France on a Vespa.
He's just driving
a Vespa through Europe.
That's incredible.
I'm like, I really have to see this. This sounds amazing.
He's the coolest exorcist since John Constantine.
Oh, I love John Constantine.
He was a cool exorcist.
Oh man, that reminds me.
He uses a mirror to get a demon out of somebody.
Yeah,
remember that shit?
Yes,
that's a cool move.
It's a very spooky. There's spooky stuff happening, like the cat. The cat's eyes. Is like,
who's the Pope? I thought
good question.
Russell Crowe was the Pope.
Oh, that would be great. He's the young Pope.
Yeah,
like that show. I don't know if someone did this when that show came out, but I always think like, hey, now you're a young Pope.
Get your game on.
Go pray. Oh, rest in peace.
Someone had to have.
Oh, no.
When we were in the Poconos, we came dangerously close to going to a Guy Fieri restaurant.
Oh, which one? Not Chicken Guy.
It's in some...
Chicken Guy's supposed to be amazing.
It's in one of their big resorts up there.
Okay.
But we brought Peach, so we did everything with Peach.
Okay.
And they're a dog-friendly place. Like, they let Peach in museums. They let Peach in everywhere. And we would have had to go and pick it up because we couldn't bring Peach in.
Okay.
We brought Preach. We bought...
Preach!
We brought Peach to the Frank Frazetta Museum. Frank Frazetta, the illustrator and, like, artist who did, like... he did a lot of like, mostly he did like Ray Bradbury like covers, and like he did like a lot of pulp novel covers. He had like these very lurid images, like women with big boobs and big butts and like monsters. And
all right,
he was, you know, like He-Man is all a complete ripoff of his. Mm. He did not Tarzan. He did Conan.
Oh, the comic, okay.
Which then got turned into the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
So, but the weird thing is, like, it's on this little, like, property.
Mm.
And it's a house and then another little house. And then the little house is the museum. And it's his family. The tour guide is his daughter-in-law.
Okay.
The girl who's, like, taking the tickets and selling you T-shirts is his granddaughter. So they're all, like, his family.
They're like, isn't he fantastic?
And I wanted to talk about Frank Frazetta, but all they wanted to talk about was Peach. They were like, oh, my God, what a cute dog. And I was like, don't tell her this shit because it'll go right over her head. The other day, we went to PetSmart, had a Halloween costume contest.
Oh, is that when she was dressed like a little witch?
Yes. Okay. And who do you think won?
Was it Peach?
Of course.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the attitude on her. I almost, like, when it looked like we were going to win, I was like, I really hope we don't win because all these other people are going to be so mad and hate us. And she already fucking, she's not even going to be grateful. She's going to be like, yeah, of course I won because she's a cocky asshole. Everyone was like, Peach, Miss Peach. I was like, oh, man, she's going to fucking win this. And she, of course, she won. She won the big toy.
She's got star quality.
She is truly a star. People see her, but it doesn't matter the age, gender, race, creed. Doesn't matter. People see her and they're like, oh, my God, and want to pet her. And she lives for it.
She loves the spotlight.
She does.
She's like Lady Gaga.
When we went away, we were...
I'm going to start a Facebook page saying Peach will never be famous.
She's already famous.
That's it. And then she's going to be like, I showed you.
Yeah. So we went away and we were supposed to stay in like this little like, there's like the big manor, bed and breakfast. And then like across the property is like these little, like they call them like suites, but they're like little like whatever shacks or whatever. They were not as nice. And they were infested with ladybugs.
Oh.
And, but we had to, that was the only place Peach could go. Like that was where dogs can go. Dogs are allowed in the big house. And we were just like, so the first day of our trip was like a nightmare because we were like, oh my, what do we do? We were heartbroken. We were like, do we leave? Can we recoup the money? So eventually I was just like, let's just tell them that we want to go into the big house.
Okay.
So, there was also no air conditioning. It was hot.
Yes. Yeah. It was super hot for Halloween.
So,
or right before Halloween. On Halloween, it was cold.
So we texted the people, and I was like, "Listen, we've got fucking ladybugs in our bed. This is horrible.
Ugh.
We need to leave. We want to go to the big house." So the owner was like, "Yeah, go to the big house. Let's go ahead. Go to room one. Here's the code, whatever." And I was like, "What about Peach?" And he's like, "Of course, Peach is invited." And then later on, his wife, the other owner, is like, "I'm so excited to meet Peach." And you guys, it's like she's the only one who gets name checked.
Yeah, it's Peach.
I don't think she ever knew my name. She went, hey, it's Peach. It's Peach's like, dad.
Oh, Peach's dad. Bowser, I assume.
Bowser. But what am I talking about? My resentment for my dog?
Yeah. Is that what you've been chilling with?
I think she's over me. After spending that much time with me, I think Peach is like, I've had enough of you.
Mm.
I've had the shine is off the apple with this guy. But anyway, and I've been watching a fuck ton of Adventure Time. I'm on season 8 of Adventure Time.
Great, great.
Love it.
We once had, we were at a Mexican resort vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Adventure Time wasn't available to stream anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was still airing. But in Mexico, on Netflix, you could stream it.
Ooh.
And so, like, we'd spend the day at the pool or the beach, and then we'd come back every night to our resort room and just stream Adventure Time. Yeah. We're like, what a delight. This is so much fun.
And the little 11 minutes, but they get a lot out of 11 minutes.
They really do.
I have to slow myself down because I feel like it's not inherently bingeable because there's so much packed into
each
episode.
Yeah.
that you could become, and you kind of have to be watching it because mm-hmm. things will happen.
You'll miss stuff. Yeah. You'll be in one place and then if you're not paying attention, you're like, wait, how did we get here? There's too much. Yeah. They transition a lot, which is good. I mean, it makes it a dynamic show.
There's a crazy amount of lore. I'm already like.
Well, past the Lich.
Finding myself.
Are you past Prismo? I mean, I imagine.
Yeah. So like, I'm already like at the point where I'm like, I'm looking things up. I'm like, wait, what was that? What sword are we on? He has it. So he lost his arm.
Okay. All right.
But then he has it again. Mm-hmm. But I know he's going to lose it again because.
He's like fated to lose his arm.
Yeah. Well, I know like in the trailer for Fiona and Cake, adult Finn has the robot arm. Mm-hmm. And then there's the alternate reality of him. Yeah. He's fated to lose his arm.
Yeah. Then there's like plant arm.
Yeah. I do like that he gets different swords. Mm-hmm. Throughout the series. It's just a lot of fun.
Did you do the Bumblebee one yet? Which one is Breezy? It's an amazing episode.
What one is that? It sounds so familiar.
It's a latter episode. It's like one of the later seasons, but it's so good.
I feel like I did.
Breezy. Season 6, episode 6.
Yeah. What is it about?
It's this little bee has like a crush on Finn.
Yes.
It's about losing your virginity.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't paying close enough
attention. It seems like a throwaway episode. And as you said, you really have to pay attention to it. Because otherwise, on its surface, it seems like a cute little bee is like following Finn around. And it's like, it has the language of the loss of virginity. Like, I think at one point, didn't she say like she can only do it one time? Because, like, I think it's about, like, her stinger.
Yeah.
And then she's like, once it's gone, I don't have it anymore. Oh. And it's real. It's very cool. And I was like, wow, no kid would get this. But if you're, you know. And so it's totally harmless. Like, it's just a little story about a bee for a kid. But if you're, you know, the subtext is, like, this bigger thing. It's very cool. Yeah. Literally sleeps with, right? But then it's like, oh. Like, it's the, the film language of a one night stand, right? Like they were like, like in the morning where, you know, they don't really imply anything, but that's how we're meant to read it, I think.
Interesting.
It's a great episode. But the one we quote all the time. It's an earlier season episode where they get hurt, Jake and Finn are hurt, and like the weird nurse clowns are like, it's the only way. We quote that episode constantly. Where when he's trying to cross the river and the bush is like, ring, ring, hello, police. There's a strange dummy outside my house. We say that all the time.
Some of it's really funny. Like there's a, I'm trying to think. I was just watching it before and I was like, that's really funny. A lot of times I find the shit Jake says really funny.
Jake's great because Jake's an adult, but he acts like a kid.
Right.
But then he's like a dad of 6 or 7. Right.
Which is bittersweet. There's something
very bittersweet.
There's something sad about.
And he has the lifespan of a dog, right? So he dies. Like, it's in future episodes and not even the ones where like Finn is dead. Because that's a whole thing that comes later. Yeah. And that's not part of the original series. That's like those mini movies that come after. Like when you see the future at times, like it's, Jake is, like, you know Jake is gone.
Interesting.
Like, the kids are grown up, but he's not there anymore. Interesting. And it's like, oh, he's a dog. He died.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's terrible.
The amount of lore is really crazy. Yeah. Like, Mars and Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. Abraham Lincoln rules Mars. Incredible.
And everything with, like, Simon and...
Oh, shit, Simon.
And...
Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm not thinking... When you said Simon, I thought Magic Man.
Magic Man is crazy.
But the Simon lore is amazing. The big reveal, I think one of the best episodes, if not maybe the best, I don't know, is the Marceline and Simon episode where you first learn that they have a history.
Yes.
So heartbreaking.
Yeah. I love her. She's maybe my favorite character.
She's great.
The whole, like... 8-part miniseries, Stakes.
Yeah, Stakes is really good. Great.
And I like that episode because there's actual narrative stakes because Jake and Finn are actually like scared. They're never afraid of anything that they do. But I love the Ice King. I love the Ice King.
Yeah. He's tragic.
He really is. For somebody that started off as really just
like
someone
a silly
who,
Tom Kenny character.
Who fucking...
Also, great performance by Tom Kenny. Like, yeah. All the serious Simon like, stuff is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he downshifts into, like, not being his bananas. Yeah.
Would you imagine, like, his real speaking voice probably is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love his drum sets as number one babe.
And that everything with, like, that flashback episode that's like the beginning of time with the dinosaur named Gunther. And it's like, what the fuck am I watching? Like,
what is any of this? What is Gunther? Like,
what does it mean? What does any of this mean? Anyway. All right. You know what? Let's take a break and we'll come back with obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
This is Obsessions. I'm coming right out and tell you my obsession because you know what it is.
Oh, I know it. Oh, I drank most of it.
Because I brought it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to bring you my obsession.
It's not me coughing into a microphone. It's this delightful sound.
It is Dunkin' Donuts spiced cookie. You're right there?
Sorry, I'm at the bottom. It's all like cookie bits.
Yeah.
If you don't expect
you should
to have solids in
you
your drink.
You should be expecting it, though.
Then you're just,
Dunkin' Donuts spiced cookie coffee.
Refreshing.
It's, I think what it is it's coffee with brown sugar, and then you've got whipped cream on top, and then cookie bits, which taste to me like Teddy Grahams.
Yeah, for sure. I think so.
And it like the
or maybe just graham cracker, you know?
Yeah.
Could be.
I went the day after Halloween, November 1, and the fucking Christmas decorations were out. And
cups are out.
And pumpkin drinks were gone, and they were like, here's this bullshit. And then it was a new one, so I was like, let me try that new motherfucker.
It's good. It is good. I was telling you, I typically don't like the specialty drinks. I find them like... The flavor is kind of weird. It's always like a corruption of a Starbucks drink.
I agree with that.
This one is good. This is a strong one.
I don't think that – I don't see it as weird or unbalanced. I see it as like a less nuanced version.
It's an off-the-rack version.
It's like
a cheap version.
It's less intellectual. Like, even if you look at, like, the pumpkin spice latte, like, the actual Starbucks pumpkin spice latte, there's an actual spice to it. There's different flavors.
And like, now they make it with pumpkin puree as well. Like, it comes with, like, the mix has a pumpkin puree in it.
There's like,
I don't think a real pumpkin ever touched the inside of a Dunkin' cup.
Oh, my God, no. they, like, with the Dunkin' version, they'll take the sort of basic essence of the flavor and then add a ton of sugar and then give it to. But this, I fucking love it. Because you know what? How can you go wrong with a ton of sugar?
I mean, you could go wrong.
No.
In life.
What's your obsession?
I'm obsessed with the podcast Ruined. So I think I mentioned this to you at one point, like maybe in the group chat, but so these two comedians discuss horror movies.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And one of them's a scaredy cat and the other one's like a big horror fan.
Uh-huh.
And so it's Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. And they're both very funny. I really, really like it. You know, they seem like real buds, which I also like.
Yeah.
And so Allison will usually like read the Wikipedia page, but she finds that it's usually missing a lot of like the detail information. So Hallie's like, no problem, I will take detailed notes and tell you all about this movie. And so it's informative in one way because I actually really do like horror, but I simply don't have time to watch like, a lot of the movies that I want to see. So I'm like, all right, well, this is pretty good. And then also I like to listen to movies that I've seen and that I really like and just hear their take on it or like hear it and then like have the reactions of someone who's experiencing it with fresh ears, I guess, not fresh eyes. But It's funny, like Hallie's catchphrase is like, unfortunately, Allison, like this next thing happens.
That's hilarious.
The only exposure Allison will have to the film is she'll watch the trailer prior. And she's always like, what did you think of the trailer? And her response is the same. Like pretty much every movie, she's like, I didn't like it. they ask her who will survive or what... oh gosh, what do you think the twist will be, or if there will be a twist? And then at the end, after like the film recap is over, she's like, well, what was the fatal mistake, like what was the fatal flaw? So it's fun and interesting, and I just like it. It feels like a hangout, you know.
That's awesome.
Which is always fun.
What's the best podcast feel like?
For sure. They do like series, so they'll do themes, or I should say, like over the summer they did like horror movies that were set on vacation. They did a series at some point where it was like, oh, it was the Halloween season. I think it was last year. They did the most requested movies. So they did like Hereditary was the number one, right? Like everybody wanted to do Hereditary, but then they would also pair it with the worst candy. So they'd have like the worst voted candy. And then if like, so second place would have the second place movie and first place, first worst would have the worst movie. So Hereditary was the worst movie. So it was paired with black licorice.
Jen's grandmother loves like those little black licorice candies. And I always say like, this was candy invented before fun.
That's what they say. They're like, well, but if candy didn't exist and all I was eating was like horrible food with no flavor in England, right? Yeah. And then someone handed me this, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's a nice change of pace. This is a different flavor.
It's certainly not good, but it's different. No,
but I would say, I imagine black licorice is probably an acquired taste. And once you acquire a taste, it's difficult to break. It's like, then you crave it. Then your body craves it. That's like that thing with the, what's that really smelly fruit?
That really smelly.
It's like a fruit that when you open it, it smells horrible. It smells like a dead body. And people eat it like a delicacy, but it's because they've acquired a taste for it. And then when they smell that horrible smell that everybody like retches when they smell it, their mouths water. What the hell is it?
And they become, and they're the best detectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you Googling smelly fruit?
I'm Googling smelly fruit. Yeah.
This might end badly for you.
Smelly fruit.
And you're on a list.
Durian. The durian fruit. Have you ever seen this?
Let me see. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's supposedly... It's spiky kind of real looking. Fleshy interior. I don't like that.
And it smells like dead humans?
It smells terrible. It smells like... It's been described as corpse-like in smell.
This is weird. I've always wanted to smell a corpse.
You've always wanted to smell.
Ever since I saw...
You've smelled corpses. You've been to a funeral home.
Ever since... Yeah, but they keep them chilly in there.
Yeah,
ever
you can still smell a little something.
Ever since I saw Bad Boys 1 as a child, and they go into that place, and they both are like... They both smell it like dead body. I was like, really? What does that smell like?
Death, but yeah, you must have smelled death at some point. Like, we were... So I used to work at Brooklyn College, and we were in the hallway, and... my coworker and I both stopped and were like, something died. Like there's a dead smell. Like, and we're sure it was like a mouse or a rat or something.
Oh, maybe I've smelled that.
But
you
can smell that something died.
But I want a whole human.
We've smelled it in this house. There, a bird got in into a wall, I guess, like from the garage. Not into the home, but like in a garage wall.
Yeah.
And if you open the garage, you're like, that smells like death. And then it just has to pass. Like it just has to decompose enough. If you can't find it, you have pretty much no choice than to just like wait it out, and then it doesn't smell anymore. It's gross. It's just gross. There's so many bird bones in this house.
What?
There's a lot of bird bones. Bill had to go
around. Why does your house attract birds?
Well, it's very tall, and a lot of birds hang out in the neighborhood because I don't think they're as vulnerable to like predators. They just hang out under the eaves of the houses because they're so high up. I don't know, but we get a lot of birds in this area. And so Bill had to go around the house, like, filling in any, like, crack or crevice mm-hmm. that they could, like, catch. They'll try to build a nest, and often that goes wrong for them, and then, like, something happens.
It goes wrong
so for them. So Bill had to go around filling it up with, like, foam, essentially, yeah. to, like, fill in everything to make sure the birds didn't get in.
Yeah.
No good. No good. But, yeah, you know the smell of death. You smell it instantly. Okay. I imagine it's only on a grander scale with a larger body.
Yeah. Yeah. I fart in my sleep a lot.
Okay. Is that your obsession?
No. Well, usually we just talk about smells, so I fart in my sleep a lot.
I shouldn't say this on a podcast. I'm not going to. Okay. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
But, yeah.
The other day, not for the farting, for my snoring. The mm-hmm. other day, Jen recorded me snoring to play for me.
Oh, isn't that... I've done that. And it's had it done to me.
I didn't realize how bad my snoring was. It's real bad.
It's violating. Doesn't it feel violating to be recorded snoring?
Oh, well, yeah.
I've but done I can it.
See her feeling violated.
I've been the perpetrator, and I have also been the victim of both happening. And I would say it's like, well, I can't be held responsible for this. I don't even know that person.
Right. I don't know what to do about it. And she, of course, like...
Side sleeping helps.
Yeah, but who wants to do that? That's not fun.
I know you.
That don't feel good.
I mean, that's how it helps for us. Like if one of us is on our backs, it's usually happening. So I just kind of roll them on the side, and then it's okay. But side sleeping helps. The breathing strips help a little.
All of this, these are all terrible ideas.
There's the thing.
None of these. These all sound awful.
Hurts though. That hurts.
These all sound absolutely awful.
I've done the breathing strip. I find that it helps just in general for me to breathe through my nose. I know you're having this conversation with Anthony. But the breathing strip's like, it's the weirdest thing in the world. It's like you put it on and it pulls. It like pulls your nostrils apart and you're like, oh my God, I can breathe for the first time in my life. It's incredible. It helps a little, but I've still snored with it on.
Yeah.
The only thing that seems to work is just like changing the position, just sleep on your side. I don't know what else to tell you. Everyone's gonna say lose weight, but like I know skinny people who snore, so
Well let's put this podcast to bed.
All right,
this has been PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I was joined today by Janine Gagliardi. Pop Culture Man Children is a podcast about pop culture, ephemera, movies, TV, trailers, video games, whatever.
Smelly fruit,
dead bodies, pooping in public. We come out every Wednesday, and we're available everywhere podcasts are found, as well as on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And one day, there will be a visual component. He's like, nope.
Maybe.
Certainly not.
Maybe. Bye. Oh, wait, how are we in this? I'm so tired.
I'm shocked.
I know. I end my other podcast just by saying bye.
Well, that ain't this.
I know. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.